changing up my focus from bodybuilding, I started to get a little more familiar with the mobility aspects of training. I thought, oh, hey, that's pretty cool. Chances are that my clientele could actually utilize that a lot more than they can utilize, oh, Alex, can you help me lose 10 pounds? Instead, it's more so, hey, Alex, can you help me continue to play pickleball or golf? Or can you help me do the workouts that I like? Can I pick up my grandkids without being in pain? And then
you're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out the first Thursday episode of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. All you regular listeners know that we normally drop a new episode every Monday, but now we'll be bringing you another weekly episode dedicated to speaking with professionals, experts, and compelling individuals from the world of health and fitness. And the health and fitness professional joining me today is a certified personal trainer, a certified precision nutrition coach, and a stick mobility and FRC specialist. I'm proud to welcome Alexis Rivera to the Addicted to Fitness podcast. What's going on, Alexis?
It's going all right. It's been a productive morning. Got some yoga in, sipping on an Americano.
Oh, nice.
Life is good. Yeah.
That's good, and I'm glad you joined me today. I actually discovered you through the greatness that is social media, Instagram, and you were actually the aforementioned Stick Mobility shared one of your videos on their page, and it was one of my favorite exercises, the dead bug. And obviously, I was intrigued by your post itself, but also your handle. I wanted to know, I would love you to share what your handle is and how you came up with that handle for Instagram.
Alrighty. My Instagram handle is the_holistic_hipster. And it's an interesting name that I came up with. Well, the word holistic, obviously I deal with very holistic methods when working with clients. I try to always address health before, let's say, addressing anything else. And as for hipster, I guess that's just a label that has been given to me multiple times. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to roll with the punches. I'm just going to go with it. Nothing wrong with that.
You're embracing it. I like that. I think where we live, actually, where my wife and I live, we're kind of the considered the hipster neighborhood of Tampa. So I once I saw that, I was like, I think this is a guy I can be simpatico with. And then I looked at the rest of your page, and all your posts were super, like you said, had a holistic approach. It wasn't just exercise-based or anything. Like, it was all the whole gambit of health and fitness. So I wanted to find out how you kind of got in – developed your holistic approach to fitness and health.
All right. Wow. This goes back. So currently I'm 21 going on to 22. And I actually got into fitness around, let's say age 17 is when I kind of got into dieting and into cardio and into kickboxing. But what happened was I was going for weight loss. And what I did was I kind of took that weight loss a little bit too far, created this body dysmorphia on myself, and actually went full-blown anorexic. So senior year of high school, I graduated at 106 pounds.
Wow.
So yeah, just to give you reference, right now I'm like a 155, so that's just about a 50-pound difference right there. And then I made the decision saying, hey, I'm going to put on some healthy weight. But I want that healthy weight to be muscle. So I went from one end of the spectrum of such a deep caloric deficit and such cardio to the opposite, which was I'm going to adopt a caloric surplus mentality, a hardcore bodybuilding style of training and eating mentality. And then next thing you know, I gained 50 pounds in 1 year. So I call it freshman 50 at the time I did that. Mm-hmm. So I gained a ton of weight, good weight, bad weight, regardless, put on a ton of muscle. But then I realized, hey, my health is kind of declining here. And eventually got an MRI scan in my pituitary gland. Testosterone was messed up. Hormones were messed up. So then I thought, I've got to change something again here. How can I kind of take the focus away from, let's say, aesthetic reasons, and let's actually implement more of a holistic approach? So changed up a lot of things, changed up nutrition, introduced more whole foods. Big thing that I did was I reduced meal frequency, you know, from 7 meals a day to implementing fasts, to implementing a wider, more diverse, let's say, intake of just whole foods. Mm-hmm. Changed up my relationship with working out. No longer did 3 hours of workouts every day. Switched it up to more of a full body workout program, let's say about 3 days a week. So really just changed my relationship with not only health, but also with working out and my diet.
So this was between probably what, 18 and 20? Was that what, like, the time frame, those couple years?
Yeah, right around there. So getting into the whole mobility thing, the stick mobility and the FRC, that was in the past year and a half, I want to say, where that is all just a recent introduction of that modality of movement.
And did you see basically after you got kind of the weight training or the weightlifting, you were doing that, did you have maybe physically you kind of thought it was necessary, or you said, hey, I need to start working on my mobility also in order to kind of complement this strength training that I'm doing?
Well, I guess when I changed my – when the paradigm of realizing that maybe muscle isn't what healthy is, maybe having the ability to do things that I want to do, if I want to actually move efficiently, if I actually want to go out to eat with someone or go somewhere and not have the thought, oh, I have to bring two Tupperware containers of meals with me because if I don't eat every 2 to 3 hours, I'm going to lose muscle. So changing up that mentality right there just really contributed to more of a greater health mentality, I'd say.
Okay. And so that eventually kind of, and was the mobility aspect, was that something you're always, was always interested in, or was that something as you got, took the more holistic approach, you started seeing that inside kind of, you know, being a part of the fitness world and you started seeing it and you're like, hey, I need to focus on that too.
Yeah. It was that right there, because mobility was something that I never even put a priority on. Now, changing up my focus from bodybuilding, I started to get a little more familiar with the mobility aspects of training. I thought, oh, hey, that's pretty cool. Chances are that my clientele could actually utilize that a lot more than they can utilize, oh, Alex, can you help me lose 10 pounds? Instead, it's more so, hey, Alex, can you help me continue to play pickleball or golf? Or can you help me do the workouts that I like? Can I pick up my grandkids without being in pain? And then I respond saying, yeah. So pretty much saying whatever modality of movement that you want to do, it's kind of pretty much my job to make sure you can continue doing that.
That, I mean, obviously that's a great approach. And I think that's something that I've talked to a lot of personal trainers and a lot of health professionals, is that some of us get kind of blinded by our own, you know, either pursuits or anything like me. Like I love boxing and kickboxing, you know, and I want to teach boxing and kickboxing to everyone, but it's not their modality. It's not their path of fitness that they want or that they need. You know, some people, it's obviously, like you said, they need to focus more on mobility work, or maybe just, hey, they need to get on a regular walking plan. It could be something as simple as that. And so having the catering to what your clients need, I think, is a huge thing that all trainers need to do, or all fitness professionals need to do, because that way you can help a broader audience. You don't kind of get, I guess I would say pigeonholed is the right word, but you don't have a narrow scope as far as your expertise. So as we mentioned, stick mobility and FRC specialist. Now I'm super interested in stick mobility. FRC is probably, I'm probably going to get obsessed with that going down the road. But what about stick mobility specifically interested you the most?
Right. So with stick mobility, I guess it's not necessarily the tool of stick mobility that makes me so interested in it, that really grasped my attention. Because in reality, it's just a 6 foot two that bends.
Yes.
That's pretty neat, I guess, and it's bright orange. But the real reason that really it strikes with me that I can utilize it is because of the application that it has. The fact is that it's so simple means it can pretty much be applied to any kind of exercise. And it can be a feedback tool. It could be used for leverage. It could be used for utilizing a grip to activate more of the central nervous system or motor units. There are just an unlimited amount of potential when using a mobility stick.
Yeah, and that's something I'm discovering now, because I'm hoping to go through their certification process or their certification class in the near future. But I'm very fortunately exposed to a lot of the exercises training with a current certified stick instructor, and get to use it at my facility. Is that kind of like you said, you can almost apply it to any movement, any type of existing exercise that people might be familiar with, to either create more tension or kind of help introduce them to a type of movement that they might not even be familiar with, you know. And it's just a great tool, like you said, I think. And it's not necessarily the most sophisticated tool, but I think the instruction that goes with it is kind of the most valuable part. So I fully agree with you there. Another thing that I wanted to kind of discuss with you is your approach to nutrition. I know we already kind of touched on it with about, you know, you went from the kind of the weightlifting mentality or the bodybuilding mentality of 7 meals a day to fasting and then just a couple square meals a day. How did that, I mean, obviously your own transformation helped that, but also now that you're a precision nutrition coach, how had that affected how you relay nutrition information to clients?
Most certainly. So one thing I realized through time, through experience, is that with precision nutrition, they really share with you that you cannot just push all these steps onto someone right away, and you can't assume that there's going to be 100% adherence to that plan. So one thing that I kind of learned to do is throw in a little few small wins. For example, I'm not going to tell someone to say, hey, tomorrow we're starting our new diet. I want you to start with a 16-hour fast, and then I want you to go ketogenic. Right.
That sounds scary to most people, for sure. Even me, and I know what that means, so.
Right. So, like, not too many people are going to do that. Well, some people may, but a majority of the people, probably not. So what I could say is, hey, let's change just a few things. Let's say that you consume, who knows, maybe like 3 Diet Cokes a day. I'm not going to say, let's take away all your Diet Cokes. I'm going to say something like, let's bring it down a notch, you know? Let's take one away, or let's take 2 away, or hey, you don't have any vegetables ever. Let's throw in a serving of vegetables somewhere in there, maybe during your dinner. And just throwing in these small wins, just to increase their own ability to say, hey, if I can do that, then maybe I can keep on taking these small steps to get to the bigger picture.
Right. Obviously, making more attainable goals, like measurable goals, I think that's a huge part, and something that I don't have the precision nutrition certification yet. That's something I'm very interested in, actually. But doing from the fitness research I've done, the nutrition research I've done, and my own anecdotal kind of reverse of what you did. Instead of gaining 50 pounds, I had to lose 50 pounds. It was basically, you've got to have those attainable goals before you reach the huge ultimate goal, you know, because if you just think about running a marathon, that's tough. Not many people can run a marathon, but if they can run a 5K and then a 5K the next day, something like that. That's an analogy to someone illustrate the point that you were saying. You got to have those victories along the way in order to win the ultimate war. Because if you don't have those victories to kind of buoy your spirits, to kind of motivate you, then it's your setup, kind of set up for failure, essentially.
Oh, 100%. I mean, there's a quote out there that says it's about the journey. It's not about the destination. Mm-hmm. 100% applies. The reason that we're really throwing in these small steps, these small wins, is it's a lot more sustainable Going back to the journey and not the destination, if we implement these things, we implement them frequently, the next thing you know, we're creating a sustainable lifestyle change. And to me, that's a big win.
Right. Yeah, that's what you say. And I hear a lot about it because obviously, you know, the diet industry is huge in this country. Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, so on and so forth. And kind of one thing I think they're developing lately, instead of just doing, you know, calories in, calorie out, they're trying to almost establish that small wins kind of thing. Because I see their kind of old way of approach to diet is that it's all or nothing. You know, you either you have this many points per day, and if you miss it, then you're not going to gain your goals. So it's like it's almost a self-defeating kind of approach. So I think, like you said, having those small victories and trying to create something that's sustainable, not temporary, is really the ultimate kind of mission for proper nutrition. One thing I wanted to ask you is, obviously, I was checking out your Instagram, the_holistic_hipster, and your most recent post, I believe, was doing vegan for a day, and I was interested, after I was reading the caption, why your reasoning behind that, and I'd love you to share it with the listeners.
Most certainly. So just to give some context, I am a big subscriber to the ketogenic diet just because of the results it had for me individually. The reason I say that is it may not work for everyone, but for myself, I noticed just great results, as in just how I felt. So going from ketogenic, as in to slowly introducing back to some carbs, and then going vegan, I see that as a terrific change in the adaptation that I've created for my body. And the reasoning for going vegan is, this actually goes back from listening to other podcasts with, let's see, I believe it was Dr. Rhonda Patrick interviewing Dr. Terry Walls, as well as the podcast Mind Pump, where Sal talks about implementing a vegan day every so often, like once a week. And the reasoning is we are so used to consuming this allotment of protein day to day throughout the week. So the goal is, if you can temporarily remove the protein that you consume in a day, then the next day your body's going to utilize that protein a whole lot more efficiently. So pretty much getting a lot more work done, with just as much protein or even less, just increasing protein synthesis. So that's one reason. And another reason is just promoting more of a diverse gut microbiome, just introducing veggies, fruits, grains, whatever it may be, I'm just not used to eating all too often.
Yeah, no, I agree. I can see. I frequently, when I put my lunch together during the day, it's a lot of the same items every day. And I know I've listened to podcasts before talking about how I think the average American only eats 15 types of different types of vegetables. I think, and that's a high number, I think. Produce. So includes fruits and vegetables, but only a small handful of different types. And like you said, we're not getting not only all the nutrients that are out there available to us, but it also affects the gut biome, which now the research is coming out, seems like daily, about how important the gut biome is, how preserving it and promoting it, whether it be with probiotic foods or probiotic supplements, about how that can affect your health dramatically.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just more and more studies, more and more research is coming out about how the gut microbiome pretty much influences everything we do or think on a daily basis. I mean, they're showing recently that, heck, even altering, or let's say in a good way, altering the microbiome will show that, hey, we can, let's say, alleviate depression just by changing up the status of the gut, just by introducing those more gut-friendly foods or whatever it may be.
No, that's right. I know. I think I've seen it, and I hate to quote it without having the right in front of me, but I've heard there's a large amount of serotonin, which is kind of the feel-good chemical our body produces, is actually produced through the gut. So having a healthy gut helps you I'm kind of making a large kind of somewhat of a little bit of a leap, but helps you feel better overall. Like you said, having a healthy gut and putting in those foods that stimulate that good gut bacteria is huge. And I think a lot of the problems we're seeing, especially with obesity and some other chronic health conditions, type 2 diabetes, or even celiac disease, I mean, it could be, or gluten intolerance, could be due to our kind of really the standard American diet, you know, the SAD diet, which is kind of hilarious that it's that's the acronym, but the standard American diet, which, you know, like you said, you can have you've come to the point where you can add grains back into your diet and everything like that, but the standard American diet was, I mean, it was, remember the pyramid, the food pyramid, was all grains and breads and everything like that. That was what they wanted most people to eat. And now we're seeing that may be kind of counterintuitive to promoting that healthy gut.
Yeah, maybe we had it wrong for the past 30 years.
Yeah, and it's I'm glad. I think a lot of people are starting to see that. And there's a lot of people, one you already mentioned, Dr. Rhonda Patrick and Gary Tobbs and Nina Teicholz, are all people that are coming out and really trying to say, hey, we did have it wrong. Let's not keep trying to beat a dead horse, or that's a bad analogy, but like try to save a sinking ship. Let's get on a new ship that has better research, better data to show how we can actually heal ourselves through diet, nutrition, and also fitness, obviously, you know. So that's a huge component of being healthy, is the fitness that someone like yourself provides. And kind of to change tracks a little bit, you're based out of Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Is that the hometown right now?
That's it, yeah. Where it is currently, let's see, it was snowing this morning, and now it's about 8 degrees.
Oh, wow, okay. So I wanted to ask you, Eden Prairie, I looked, as somewhat of a southern suburb of Minneapolis, is that correct? Would that be?
That is it.
Okay. How, as far as like health and fitness, is it a high priority in your area, or is it more kind of they're more business based or things like that?
Well, considering I don't have too much to compare it to, I mean, if I were to go, I was just in San Jose a few weeks ago to attend the FRC certification, and just comparing that to this, I can say that there is a difference. As in San Jose, or at least where I was, there was a lot more emphasis on mobility. There was a greater emphasis on these more progressive styles of movement, of exercise. Here, I'd say the tide is slowly turning. I was talking to Dennis Dunphy, one of the founders of Stick Mobility, the other day when I was in San Jose, and he said, Alex, you're the only person stick mobility-wise in Minnesota. And then he said, closest person to you is this one person in Chicago. So we're still trying to pave the way, I guess, when it comes to FRC, when it comes to stick mobility, just more mobility-focused styles of training.
Mm-hmm. So, but obviously, and with someone like yourself who has the holistic approach, and that's still kind of gaining popularity in your city, is what you're saying essentially. I mean, obviously, I'm sure they have gyms like anywhere else, but it's a city. I mean, obviously, the weather, the climate's kind of hard on you guys, as you said. It was snowing this morning. It's 8 degrees now. But is the city being conducive to more of an active lifestyle, like bike paths or green spaces, things like that?
Oh, most certainly. So Eden Prairie it's a good environment, I'd say. We have plenty of gyms. We have plenty of group classes. We have all kinds of these facilities around. We have all these, when it is nice out, we have all these trails that we can walk on, take our bikes on, all that. So luckily, the environment that I'm in, or let's say the gym I'm at, XL Fitness here in Eden Prairie, is very open-minded enough to actually be curious enough to see, oh, hey, what is Alex doing over there with his mobility stick? Or what is he doing lying on the floor, gasping for air from what it looks like he just raised his arm up 2 inches off the floor? I'm curious about that. So luckily I'm in the space to where there's enough open-minded people.
That's good. I mean, honestly, I've seen it because I was in Denver for a couple of years, and just being there was very enlightening to how a city can be can help promote fitness, really, just the way it's designed and all the kind of outdoor parks and back bike paths and all the running trails. And I'm slowly starting to see it now, being back in Tampa for the last 7 years or so. Is starting to be conducive to that too. So I think a lot of cities are kind of, like you said, waking up to the idea of, hey, they're designed, the way you design your city can have an effect on the health of the residents. So I think that's a big thing. And obviously, I've heard great things about Minneapolis, St. Paul, and obviously your Eden Prairie is probably very close. So we're hoping to travel out there one day and check it out. So before I let you go today, Alexis, I want to ask you kind of if you had one piece of advice to give to our listeners about overall health, what would that piece of advice be?
Well, what I would say is to live in the present, to live in the now. Too often we look back at what we've done. We look at our mistakes or our successes, or maybe we look in the future and we look at what is about to happen, maybe what we're looking forward to. But all too often we just neglect the now. We see it as a stepping stone to get to the future. But in reality, the now is just oh so important. Creating that awareness when you're talking to someone or doing an activity, just taking the time to appreciate what you're doing or just being grateful for what you're perceiving is something that we just don't do all too often. I mean, in a world of social media, in a world of just having all this entertainment at our hands, we just don't really look. We're not really grateful for what we're currently doing. We're on social media and we're doing it to just kill time. And it's becoming an issue. So one thing that's really becoming popular is float tanks or the self-deprivation, not deprivation. What are those tanks called?
Yeah, you're right. Float tanks. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah, where there's a big rise just in those, just so you can be present. There's this huge rise of just meditation apps or meditation books. You hear Tim Ferriss talk about meditation. You hear everyone talking about meditation just because we have forgotten what it's like to live in the now.
No, that's a great piece of advice, and you know, my wife and I talk about that a lot on the podcast. She's a certified yoga instructor now, so that was a big part of her training. So that's a great piece to go out on, and I really appreciate you sharing that with our listeners. I want to give you some time. I want you to kind of promote everything, all your contacts and everything. So if anybody even in the Eden Prairie or online wants to get a hold of you, how can they do so?
Most certainly. So as said from earlier, my Instagram handle is the_holistic_hipster. And I'm located in Eden Prairie, Minnesota at a gym known as XL Fitness. But also online coaching is something that I'm going to provide where just online workout programming will be available for a monthly fee. So if you're all at all interested in doing that, just go to my Instagram, links in the bio, and just click on it and just send me a message. We can talk about it. We can figure out your goals and we can just pursue whatever it is that you want to accomplish.
Perfect. Awesome. And I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today, Alexis. And hopefully, I think we can definitely go into a lot of other topics. And if you are interested, I'd love to have you back on sometime in the future.
Oh, most certainly. I'd love to.
All right, thanks, Alexis. Have a good day.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.